This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But we're pleased to welcome John DeShazer of Saints.com, who is at the game in the Superdome. And John, the Saints have put up some really good offensive numbers. In fact, tonight's number is probably better than what we've seen so far. But how much cause for concern is there around this team right now?
Well, the offense still isn't clicking the way we're accustomed to seeing it click. Even though they put up 30 points and had some productive numbers, it still isn't quite in sync the way the Saints are accustomed to having it in sync. And obviously, defensively, there are some issues there. The Saints right now in this game committed 8 more penalties for 83 yards in penalties. They're over 300 yards in the 3 games in penalties, many of them defensive, of the pass interference variety, or other personal fouls. And those are glaring right now for a team that really kind of needs to have everything in sync, and they hadn't had everything in sync with their offense and defense. They always talk about playing complementary football, and they hadn't gotten the complementary football that they need to win right now.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the penalties, because that's something that I had talked about on my show with the Saints so far. They're over 300 yards in penalties in 3 games, and that's so unlike them.
Yeah, they've been a really disciplined team. And if you've got penalties that way, Sean Payton likes to call it hidden yardage. It's tough to win when you're averaging giving away 100 yards a game and penalties. It almost makes it impossible for you to win. And so they're really making it difficult on themselves. A lot of it is situational football where you might have a 3rd and 10 and they commit a pass interference or a defensive hold, and that's an automatic first down. And now the defense is on the field longer than it would have been or should have been. Those plays accumulate, and you see it take a cumulative effect on the defense. And then sometimes they'll just have some big plays. Alan Lazard in this game, Green Bay, caught a 47-yarder in the first half and caught a 72-yard pass in the second half where, the second half pass, someone blew a coverage. He was wide open. And the first one, the 47-yarder, he was open enough to where he even stumbled before he caught it. So, those are instances in situations where the Saints have to work themselves out of. And unfortunately, again, in the first 3 games, even the game they won against Tampa Bay, it was full of penalties where they were able to overcome because they had a huge game from the special teams. But you can't count on a blocked field goal and a recovered fumble on a kickoff. You can't count on those kinds of things every game. So they've got to be more solid defensively, and they've got to be better in terms of executing offensively.
Do you think fatigue may have been a factor then with the defense in the second half?
Oh, absolutely. I thought we saw some fatigue play out against the Raiders, and I thought we saw some of it show up in this game because, again, they're staying on the field too long. They're just not doing a good job of getting off the field. There was a 3rd and 12 in this game where Aaron Rodgers scrambles for 13 to get that 3rd down. Those are situations where this team has to get off the field. And even when they come up with a great stop on 4th down, made a 4th and 1 stop right around midfield, 2-3 plays later, Taysom Hill on a zone read goes and fumbles it from the quarterback position and gives it right back to Green Bay. So a golden opportunity to score off basically what amounts to a turnover on downs, but they don't capitalize on it. And so, those things start to be glaring because defensively, you make a play where you feel like you're off the field and then you turn around 2 plays later, you got to go right back out there against a team that's led by Aaron Rodgers. And if you continue to give Aaron Rodgers opportunities, sooner or later, he's going to get you.
John DeShazer of Saints.com with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, fresh off this game in the Superdome. And it was really tight. Actually, if you look at the numbers, they're very similar, John. And you mentioned the Taysom Hill fumble, the only turnover in the game. And the TV cameras really honed in on him on the sidelines after that fumble. I can only imagine how much that weighs on him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was disconsolate because he's really a thoughtful guy. And you know, he knows his opportunities are limited because of the role he plays. And if you have limited opportunities, you certainly don't want one of those five, six, seven touches to be one where you fumble the ball away. So I'm sure it was pretty difficult to console him after that because he's that thoughtful. And his teammates absolutely adore him because of the role he plays, because he will sacrifice his body in so many ways. So I'm sure no one held it against him, and yet it was a critical turnover in this game.
Do you ever think it's the wrong idea to take the ball out of Drew Brees' hands when the game is kind of hanging in the balance?
Well, Drew seemed to have found a bit of rhythm right there, but you know, the way the Saints have played over the years and Sean Payton's play calling and the way they've been able to score, it's hard to question a lot of times what he does because the team is so productive. And even with that fumble, before the last second field goal to pull it within a touchdown, they scored 27. Now, against a lot of teams in the NFL, that should be good enough to win, and especially if your defense is as good as the Saints hope this defense is going to be. And again, that's where that complimentary football comes into it, where the offense scores 27. If you're a good defense, you should be able to hold the opposition. And unfortunately for the Saints, weren't able to do that. But, you know, taking the ball out of Drew's hands, you know, you can always question that because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback and he got on a bit of a roll. But, you know, Taysom Hill has had a lot of productive snaps from that position. So,
sure.
You know, if you're the Saints, you just ride with it.
Mm. But it's a shame to waste nearly 200 yards from Alvin Kamara, and then also Drew Brees getting through a game in which he looked like, as you say, he was in a bit of a sink.
Yeah, he was extremely efficient. And, you know, you hear the national questions and some local people, you know, wondering, you know, why can't the Saints get it deep? And Drew Brees, when you call a shot play, he's not going to throw it just for the sake of throwing it. He won't do it. He knows that a lot of teams and a lot of games in the NFL are won by teams that just lose them because they turn the ball over. So that's not going to be him. I think he had four interceptions all of last year in 11 games. He's not going to give the game away that way if he can help it. And so he was extremely efficient. And then Alvin Kamara is just, you know, he's healthy this year. And that's the kind of stuff he can do. The 52-yard touchdown catch that he had was basically a dump-off pass,
right,
where
right.
He made some magic. I mean, he's got those kinds of feet. We saw him healthy in training camp. And when he gets the ball in his hands, he can do special things like that.
John DeShazer with us from New Orleans after the Sunday Night Football loss to the Packers. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So what was it like, or what is it like, to be inside the Superdome when most of the noise is generated by fake fans?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a little white noise background, really. And, you know, for us who, you know, we've heard the Superdome in such, you know, loud measures.
Mm.
It's almost, you know, it's white noise. It's almost aggravating, really. It's like a buzz, a constant buzz, instead of what we're accustomed to hearing when, you know, a big play comes and the crowd really gets into it, or, you know, a big hit or something like that. Or even the deflation that goes along with seeing the opponent have a big play. You know, you just miss those emotional swings. And in a venue like the Superdome that has been, you know, so historic and has been, you know, the place where so many big plays have had. And, you know, you go back to the Steve Gleason block punt where you feel like the roof is going to blow off the place. It's extremely odd to be in there where you've basically just got this dull noise going continuously.
It was good to see some of the family members in there. And so there were under 1,000 people there, and they were just kind of allowing some of the players' loved ones to be in the Superdome. What is the plan moving forward with fans?
Well, I think they wanted to do this one as a test run, see how it worked out, make sure, you know, there was no COVID issue, you know, in the aftermath. And I think they'll go from there. If this turns out to have been a pretty safe test run, I think they'll expand. I don't know if it'll go to 25% or whatever social distancing will allow, but it'll increase for the next home game. I'm pretty sure, as long as everything turns out safely from this game.
There's Aaron Rodgers chucking and ducking up and down the field, and he's another one of the old dudes, the elder statesman at the position. What stands out to you about the way that he played tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what, his arm didn't look old. Geez, he can fling it. I mean, he can make some bad, you know, as we call it, bad body throws, where he's not really squared up. He looks a little bit off balance, but he's got, you know, an arm talent that is, you know, that is once in a lifetime. I mean, he can throw the football, and it looks like it's pretty much effortless, and he's fitting it into tight spaces, and he's throwing the deep ball extremely well. And, you know, I know Green Bay drafted a quarterback. I understand that. You got to plan for the future. But from what we saw, this guy looks like he's got, you know, 4, 5, 6 highly productive years in him, unless he were to suffer some kind of major injury, because his arm is special. It has been special for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's still special.
And he said not that long ago that over the course of his career, he's maybe iced his arm 5 times. And so I think you're right. It's a go-go gadget arm. John, the Saints in the regular season the last few years have, I don't want to say had it easy, because that's not fair, but they've established themselves as the team to beat and been a front runner in the NFC South. How will this team respond to adversity now being behind?
Well, and that's the thing, because when you've been as successful, even in the regular season, as the Saints have, unfortunately not in the playoffs, but in the regular season, now you become your opponent's playoff game. You become the measuring stick. So they're going to have to live up to what they've been. They've responded well the previous couple of years, whether it was from the Minnesota Miracle or whether it was from the non-pass interference call against the Rams. They've responded extremely well. But at some point, you assume, you know, you keep going to that well, and, you know, is it going to come up dry? Well, is this a season where it comes up dry? We don't think so, because the Saints still have a very talented team. They have a good team stacked around Drew Brees. They have a good mixture of veteran and young players. But, again, you've got to play that way. You know, being a good team on paper means nothing in the NFL. You got to put out the product on the field. And for the Saints, the first, or at least the last two games, certainly, they hadn't been able to put out a good enough product to win those games.
Got to clean up those penalties, and a lot would change then. But the Saints do fall to 1-2, and you want to find John on Twitter at John DeShazer, DeShazier, covers the Saints for the website, NewOrleansSaints.com. John, great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Hey, thank you, Amy. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.